Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Praise God. I'm excited with what God is for us through the word today. Brother Joshua Drew will be ministering in the second service. I'll be here for the second service, but it just gives me a chance to hit the road and get out to Cootamundra, where we're seeing God do great things out there as well. Praise God. We're going to be having fellowship this week up in Batlow, where we've had some people coming down from Batlow. It's all part of the vision that God had given us to be able to reach the regional areas. As I was in prayer, I felt the Lord lead me to draw a two-hour circle around Canberra and say, that's where we can reach. And we're seeing God do great things. I think we're up to 8 different towns now within that two-hour circle. And God's going to do more. Amen. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through to 7. Amen. Have you got it in your Bibles? There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Everyone say Zacharias. He was a priest, Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous. Everyone say righteous. Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous before God. They were walking in the commandments of God and the ordinances of the Lord. They were blameless. They were good Christians. They were following the word. They were righteous. They followed the commandments and the ordinances. Blameless before the Lord. And they had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. We have this faithful couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Righteous, blameless, following the commandments and the ordinance of God. They're doing everything they know. They are faithful. Yet they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and now they were in their old age. I want to minister today on this title, Living for That Day. Living for that day. Can we all say it and put an emphasis on that day? Living for that day. That day. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here in person and those that are joining us online. Right now, Lord, let our hearts be ready to receive what you're going to speak to us through your word, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the church says amen. Amen. Living for that day. Praise God. Amen. Living for that day. You see, I believe, and you may be seated, I believe that Jesus is coming back. Do I have anyone that believes with me today? I believe, to put it more precisely, in the imminent return of Jesus. That means that at any time, the clouds can split, the trumpet can sound, and Jesus is coming back for his church. That's what I believe. And I believe if you want to know what the clock looks like in terms of the coming of Jesus, that it is 11:59 and we are in the midnight hour. It's minutes to midnight. In Hebrews chapter 10, and we read a portion from Hebrews this morning. In Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the last days. And I want to encourage everyone regarding next Sunday and being in church when we have the opportunity to be. When we have the opportunity, we ought to be here. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Just in case you thought church was optional, it says, not forsaking the assemblies of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Everyone say more. So much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be in the house of the Lord more as we see the day approaching. And so, I'm talking about living for that day. What is that day? That day is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That day is when we will go to meet him in the clouds. That day is where time stops and eternity begins. You see, we are seeing a prophetic pandemic. We're seeing pestilence, as the Bible talks of pestilence and sickness. But we're also seeing another prophetic pandemic, and that is sleepiness. Everyone say sleepiness. I'm not talking about falling asleep in church, but I'm talking about spiritual sleepiness, spiritual laziness, where people have put their Bibles aside and they're not praying and just cruising through life and becoming just Christians by name. And so we're seeing the prophetic pandemic of the pestilence that the Bible speaks of, but we're also seeing a pandemic of sleepiness. And maybe you, or maybe you know somebody that in these last days, you know, the Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. That we can't afford to become weary in well-doing. But church, I come to remind you that we've got to be living for that day. We've got to be looking forward to that day. We've got to be ready when Jesus comes back. Praise God. Somebody say amen. And so in our text, for generations, there was always a remnant. A remnant is like a torn off piece, just a piece. There's always been a remnant of the Jewish people who waited every single day. Every single day they waited, anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. That is when Jesus was robed in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, born in a manger. They were waiting for the arrival of the Messiah, and he wasn't what they expected. They expected a mighty warrior and a horse to come and fight their battles and defeat the Romans and all those things. But Jesus came as a baby in a manger. They literally, this remnant of Jews literally lived every day expecting the Messiah to come at any moment. They were looking for him all the time. But you know what? Nothing happened. Generations were born. And generations died. Generations came and generations went. And there was no fulfillment of that promise from what they could see. You see, because of this, and listen to me carefully, thousands of Jews essentially abandoned their faith. We've been waiting a long time. Granddad was talking about the Messiah come. Dad was talking about the Messiah coming. And here I am, and he still hasn't come. They've been through a lot. The children of Israel have been in captive in Israel, in Egypt, sorry. In Assyria, they'd been in captivity. They'd been in captivity in Babylon, in Medo-Persia. They had been through a lot of things. They had been through many ups and downs. They had been through civil wars. They had seen the destruction of the beloved temple of Solomon, and they're still waiting for the Messiah. This remnant of Jews that were there, they were faithful right to the end. They're like, he's coming back. I know people may be falling away. People may be giving up. Terrible things may be happening, but I'm going to keep looking forward to the Messiah coming. And here they were, now existing, having to live under the Roman Empire. And it wasn't very nice. The Roman Empire has, in fact, been referred to as the iron boot heel. It was a hard life for the people of God living under the Roman Empire. And here they are existing, somehow surviving under the Roman rule. And yet the Messiah had still not come. There hadn't even been a glimpse of him. And you know, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were part of that remnant that were looking forward to the Messiah coming. They were good people, in spite, as I said, of everyone falling away, in spite of those that were losing their faith, in spite of all the ups and the downs and the troubles. The Bible says that Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous before God. And I want to tell you today, we ought to continue to be righteous before God because Jesus is coming back. We don't know the day nor the hour, but I do know that we've got to live a righteous life if we want to be saved. And I believe that there's a remnant here today in this church. While other churches and other beliefs may be falling away and saying, you know what, this is too hard, we've got to compromise. But I pray that this church would rise up and say, we're going to be righteous before God. We're going to look forward to the coming of the Messiah. And so Elizabeth and Zacharias were walking in the commandments of God each day, living by the ordinance of God. They were blameless. And what was their faith based on? What was their lifestyle based on? It was all based on a promise given to Abraham 2,000 years before. 2,000 years, and they're still claiming the promise. Here is the promise. And the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He's speaking to Israel. And I will make thee a great nation and I will bless thee. They're going through all these civil wars. The destruction of Solomon's temple. They've been taken into captivity in Babylon and Egypt. He says, but I'm going to make you a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Zacharias and Elizabeth are standing on the promise. They're claiming the promise. People are falling away, but they say, you know what? We choose to believe in God and that he will fulfill his word. And since that promise was given to Abraham, they had been through so much. They got the miraculous delivery from Egypt. They were brought out by the blood, the water, and the spirit, and God delivered them, and they were led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. There was a miraculous deliverance out of Egypt. That was a good thing, but then what? Then the wilderness. That wasn't such a good thing. We got an up, now we got a down. But they finally became their own kingdom. Things were looking good under King David and King Solomon. Things were looking good, but then suddenly what happens? A civil war breaks out. They're back into captivity. Now their hopes seem dashed. They've got bad leaders now. Now faith is hard. And at the time of Zacharias and Elizabeth, the nation of Israel, at the time that we read in our text, the nation of Israel had changed hands over 25 times, changing hands. They had been dominated by the Roman Empire for decades. And for decades, they believed the Messiah is coming. In spite of what we see, the Messiah is coming. And then to add insult to injury, history tells us that in 63 BC, the Roman general Pompey the Great, what did he do? He intervened in a civil war between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't like each other. And he comes in and he breaks down the temple courtyard. He breaks the courtyard down. He pushes past the temple guards. And you know what? He walks right into the temple, this Pompey the Great, and he marched straight towards the Holy of Holies. You know what? Nobody could just go into the Holy of Holies. That was a place where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the presence. And Pompey the Great, you know what? He just barges right in. He starts marching towards the Holy of Holies. And the Jews believe this is where God dwells. This is where the Shekinah presence of God dwells between the cherubims. That's where the Ark that Uzzah touched. And he died for touching the Ark. The Jews couldn't even look into there, they believed, for fear of death. And what does Pompey the Great does, he just pushes past and walks straight into the Holy of Holies. They're watching. He walks straight in there. They couldn't bear to see the temple defiled. History tells us that many of the guards committed suicide. They couldn't stand to see it. And they were gasping as he just walks into the Holy of Holies. And you know what they're thinking? They're thinking, here we are. With all that we believed and all of our faithfulness. And to the Jews at that time, the implications were so clear. Pompey the Great, who served Jupiter, the god of the Romans, that Jupiter, the god of the Romans, was more powerful than Yahweh, the god of the Jews. Because there's Pompey, walks right into the Holy of Holies, walks right out. The power of God, they're thinking, his promises seem untrue. It seems like a myth. Maybe we're believed in vain. And the Jews had thinking, you know what? We've mistakenly believed all of this stuff for all these centuries. And the word spread quickly all throughout Israel. And thousands of more Jews, they eventually became more secular and fell away from their faith. The event of Pompey the Great shook Israel to the core. And Zacharias's father was a priest. Remember Zacharias and Elizabeth? Zacharias' father was a priest. And can you imagine when his father came home after seeing everything that happened there in the temple? He would forever remember the night that his dad came home and tore his robes because of what he saw happen in the temple. Everything that they believed in seemingly is now proven untrue by what? By a pagan general who ignored everything that they held sacred, and God did nothing to him. Can you imagine how they're feeling? As people are falling away from the faith, as people are compromising, as everything that they hold fast to seems like it have been mistakenly following this God. And yet, with all of that was going on, this young man Zacharias, everyone say Zacharias. I pray we have some Zachariases in this church. This young man Zacharias grew up. And he followed in his father's footsteps. He said, I'm going to serve in the temple. I'm going to serve in the church just like my God. And Zacharias served God his whole life. He remained faithful to God his whole life. And he entered into his twilight years, still barren, still waiting for the promises of God to be revealed, still waiting to see the miracle. He goes into his old life still believing that God is able. Still believing in the promises of God. Still believing in the power of God that many others have just said, you know what? We just can't do it anymore. I'm talking today about living for that day, church. We've got to live like Zacharias and Elizabeth. Let us be righteous. Yes, there may be Christians compromising. Yes, people may not be living their life based on the Word of God. Yes, people may not be living a holy life. Yes, even Christians who call themselves Christians may be compromising and walking away from the faith. But I've come to remind this church today that we've got to live with that day in mind. We've got to live a holy and a righteous life. Others, everyone say others. Others begin to turn their eyes to their daily existence. Others begin to turn their eyes to money and possessions. But Zacharias and Elizabeth live for something more. They live for something more. They continue to live every day as though the Messiah can come at any time. They were living for that day. Hundreds of the Jewish priests, you know what? They thought this is just a ritual. It's meaningless. But not Zacharias, not Elizabeth. Others said, it's over. I've seen too much. It's fiction. The Messiah isn't coming. But not Zacharias and Elizabeth. They said, no, if God said it, we believe it. If God said he'll do it, he'll do it. We're trusting God. We're going to walk in his statutes. We're going to walk in his commandments. We're going to walk in his ordinances. We can't give up our faith at this time. So it's no accident that the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth starts the gospel of Luke. The Lord said, and when the promise finally came, the Lord said to him, you're going to be a great man. You're going to have a son, and his name's going to be John. John is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. Whew. We waited a long time. Now we're going to have a baby in our old age. Many are going to turn to God under his ministry. He's going to be a great man of God. And then verse 17 says, and he shall go before him, in the power, in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready the people, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And you know what? Zacharias, as righteous, as faithful as he was, he even still had a bit of a problem believing the good news. You kidding? You know, we've been living, expecting. It's happening. It's really happening. Zacharias, your son, John, is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. What? We get to be the opening act. We get to prepare the way. We get to be the curtain raiser. Really? God, this is the day we've been looking forward to. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, everyone say the sixth month. The sixth month of what? The 6 months of Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy. 6 months in, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. In the 6th month of the pregnancy, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they begin to be the opening act for the great drama. Emmanuel, God with us, God manifest in the flesh. And here they are, still living righteously, still following God's commandments. And now, after all the years, after seeing everybody fall by the wayside, after being through all the ups and the downs, they are now seeing the fulfillment of the promises of God. I said all of that today, church, to say this. I stand here today, and in spite of what many people would say is strong evidence to the contrary, I stand here today standing on a 2,000-year-old promise that Jesus said. He said, the same way you saw me go, I'm going to come back again. Jesus is coming back for his church. And I know some of you might think, you know what? He's just an old-fashioned preacher. But I can't let my mouth go silent in these last days. I can't let this trumpet go silent, because if I don't sound the alarm, who will be ready? And I've come to encourage this church, we've got to live righteously. We've got to follow the commandments of God. Others may fall by the wayside, but I'm living for that day. I'm living for that day. And why others have abandoned the promise, why others may have turned their back, and I've been around Christianity, I've been around church long enough to see a lot of people just turn and walk away from God. Why others say, you know what, it's just a bunch of stories, it's just a myth. I believe the Messiah is coming again for his church. I believe that he's going to return. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16 to 18 says this: For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it says, comfort one another with these words. These, for those that are ready, these are words of comfort. Comfort one another with these words. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51 says, Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul says. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, for as much as you know not that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Church, I've come to remind us that we are living for that day. Jesus is coming back. You can see what's going on in the world. You can see that everything is spiraling out of control. It could all just happen in a moment. Jesus is coming back. We've got to live for that day. I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you in the right place with God? Have you got your account settled with God? Are your sins forgiven? Have you been baptized in his name? Have you repented of your sins? Are you ready for that day? When you woke up today, what were your expectations? Oh, just another average day, I guess. Well, there are most days are average days, just normal. You know, everyone asks, how was your day? I feel like saying, same as most days. All right. An average day. But then there's special days. It's my anniversary today. Not me today, but, you know, it's coming up. Keep your gifts for next week. Retirement. Can you remember your last day at work, Brother Raul, before you retired? What a special day. I'm sure you weren't thinking about work that day when you went to the office for the last day. Just going to pick your stuff up. What a great day that would be. Retirement, the first day of school or first day of holidays or a graduation. But I want to talk about a unique day. And that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must live for that day, church. We're not living for the now. We're living for that day. And you know what? That day is going to come for as a shock for some people that aren't prepared. It's going to be a shock for those that aren't prepared, but for those of us who are prepared, it's going to be a great day of joy. It's going to be a day of comfort. You know what? I'm starting to look at this world and look at what's going on in this world and say, you know what? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. I've had enough of this life. I want to go to be with my Jesus. I want to tell you, we are living in the last days. And let us be like Zacharias and Elizabeth, who looked for his first coming, who lived righteously, followed the commandments of God while everyone else fell by the wayside. Let us be like them and faithful to the end. Jesus pinpointed the people that would see his coming. He said this, Jesus answered and said unto them in Matthew 24, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars. Everyone say wars. Rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation or ethnicity shall rise against ethnicity. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences. We're seeing that. Earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. We see what's happening in Victoria. We're even to pray for somebody now. To pray for somebody who has even asked you for prayer about LGBTI, whatever issues. Even if they ask you for prayer and you pray with them, the new law and the new bill they're trying to pass in Victoria can see you charged as a criminal for doing such a thing. Look it up for yourself. Read it for yourself. It's been in the newspaper. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise up and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end. Everyone say endure. Everyone say faithful. Everyone say righteousness. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. We're seeing signs of the times all around us. Signs are like labor pains. The closer they come together, then you know the baby's coming soon. Signs, they become more frequent and more intense as it gets closer. You know, when you go on a trip, When you're driving a long way, say up to Brisbane or something like that, when you're a long way off, the signs are kind of small, aren't they? Brisbane, you know, like as if you're interested. But the closer you get, the signs get bigger and more specific. And we're seeing that right now. The signs of the times are telling me that it's not too far off and Jesus is coming back. There are signs of the times. The Bible says that there are going to be signs in society like the days of Noah. Boastful, people will be boastful, lovers of money, selfish, arrogant, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, malicious, gossipers, without self-control, haters of good, treacherous. We're going to see those signs in society, and we're starting to see that already. Signs in technology. Daniel prophesied that in the last days that technology will increase. We've seen technology. Let's go back. Let's go back 100 years and think about the progresses in technology. They were so slow, so minute. Somebody invented electricity. Wow. That was the best thing that happened for like 50 years. That's all we had. But now technology, as time went on, technology has begun to advance. And now we live in a day where technology is literally at an exponential. We can't even keep up with it. Buy the magazines if you want. You won't be able to keep up with the technology. By the time you finish your magazine on the latest and greatest technology, there'll be something that outdates it already. It was prophesied in the Bible. Spiritual signs, signs in nature, signs concerning Israel. For some of us, this happened in our own lifetime. The reforming of the nation of Israel. They were scattered to all the ends of the earth. The Bible said it would happen, but the Bible also said that they will all come back and be a nation again. And we saw that happen in our lifetime. I've come to encourage you, church. We're living for that day. Everyone say that day. The time is coming. Jesus is coming back. We've got to make sure we are right with God. God is merciful. God is loving. But he will not hold his wrath forever. He's coming back for his church. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us which are alive and remain shall go to meet him in the air. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 as I close. God does not wish that any should perish, but that all should be brought to repentance. Everyone say repentance. Repentance is the beginning of being born again. It's that decision. Yes, we have faith first, but then that decision to repent says, I want to turn my life around. I don't want to live a life for myself or for this world, but I want to live my life according to the Word of God. And when you make that decision to repent, when you turn your life around, that is the beginning of your born-again experience. The Bible says you must be born of water and of spirit in John 3. The saddest state of man, the saddest thing that can happen is that we would come to that day unprepared. That we would come to that day And as the word says, what is the profit of man if he gain the whole world, but he lose his own soul? There is nothing sadder than somebody would come to that day and say, look at all the stuff I got. Look at all the money that I got. Look at the house I got. Look at the job I got. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world, but he loses his own soul? What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world, but he's not ready for that day? And so how do we get ready for that day? It's not just a one-off occasion. Yes, your sins can be forgiven in an instant. But you got to be like Zacharias and Elizabeth, who while everybody was falling by the wayside, while even themselves, they had problems believing the promise. Why? Because they were old and the wife was barren. But they were living for a promise 2,000 years ago given to Abraham. We're not living for the first coming. We're now living for the second coming. Jesus said, the same way you saw me go, I'm going to come back again. We've got to live for that day. And so while many bad things are happening in the world, apostasy, many good things are going to happen as well. We've seen it in the church. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Church continues to grow. Just over the last couple of weeks, I went through and started to add up all the new people that have started coming to church and the people we baptized. There's about 40 people that started coming to our church since COVID began, while the church doors have been closed. While there's been restrictions, the Bible says that in the last days there will be an ingathering. It says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. We're living for that day. We need to take an inventory today and say, am I ready? I don't want to get to that day and not be prepared. I don't want to get to that day and say, look at all the secular things I got. Look at all the education I got. Look at all the possessions and the money I got. I don't want to get to that day and not have my heart right with God. Let's stand in this place right now. I believe with all of my heart, church, the first message I preached in this church as pastor, way back after when I officially became pastor in 2013, that's going on 8 years ago now, the first message I preached, I said it emphatically. I said, I believe I will see the coming of the Lord in my lifetime. And I still believe it with my whole heart. I believe it even more now. And so church, let us not be sleepy. Let us not be lazy. Let us not be looking for a way out and a cheap Christianity and a cheap consecration. No, we need to be the church more and more. We need to shine the light more. We need to be in church more as we see the day approaching. We can't afford to be a weak church. I'll say that again. We can't afford to be a weak church. I don't want to pastor a weak church in these last days, but I want to pastor a church in the last days that's flexing its muscles. That's standing in the face of this world and saying, we refuse to bow. We refuse to give in. I want a pastor a church that says, I'm drawing a line where the Bible draws a line. I don't care what other churches are doing. I don't care what other pastors are doing. But where the Bible draws the line, I draw the line. Because this world can't afford to have a weak church. This city can't afford to have a weak church. This suburb can't afford to have a weak church. Your family can't afford to have a weak church. We ought to be the church in the last days, flexing its muscles by the power of God. Clap your hands to the Lord. And I still look forward to that day. I still look forward to that day. People down through the ages have lived with the expectation that in the twinkling of an eye, the next breath, the next tick of a clock, Jesus can come. They've lived like that. The next rustle of a leaf, Jesus could come. The next sigh, Jesus could come. Prisoners who have been in prison for their faith for decades have sat there with what hope? Not much, but the greatest hope though. As they've looked out that window in that dark prison, why are they there? For living for Jesus. And they've looked out that prison for decades with one hope. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The next blink of an eye, the next breath I take, Jesus is coming. Slaves have looked up from the fields. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe when I draw my next breath. I want to tell this church today, we've got to live for that day. When do we start preparing? It's too late when he appears in the clouds. It's too late. Many are going to come and bang on the door like they did with Noah's Ark. But the door will be closed. Today is the day of salvation. Every day you're alive is a day of salvation. We've got to live for that day. And so, church, whatever it costs you personally, we've got to be ready for the rapture. We've got to be ready. This hope we have is not conditional on us. It's not conditional on us. Yes, we're going to live for God. But if you have a relationship with God, if you love God, if you've been born again, you don't have to have any power to get from here to there. Nothing in you is going to get you from here to there. We will be raised by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will raise us. That's the Spirit that's going to get us up there. There's going to take no effort. When Jesus comes back, you're not going to have to say, I don't know if I've got enough. Can I get up there? No. Your right relationship with God, you're going to be caught up. You know the word rapture is not even in the Bible? You won't find it there. But the word rapture is an interesting word because it comes from the word, they were in raptures. It means great happiness and great joy. And for every Christian that is prepared for that day, the rapture will be a rapturous time. It'll be a time of joy. The Bible says, comfort one another with these words. We are living for that day, church. That day. That day. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Come on, somebody order. Praise God right now. I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. Lord, let there be a Zacharias. Let there be Elizabeth here today. That will live righteously. That will follow your commandments. Lord, that will live faithfully, standing on your promises. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Nobody like you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, that we would live for that day. God, help us not to be distracted by the things going on around us. Lord, help us not to be distracted by those that are falling away from the faith. Lord, help us not to be distracted by those that are becoming sleepy and slumbering in these last days. But oh God, that we would purpose in our hearts to live for you with our whole life. Come on, lift your voice and worship God right now. We love you, Jesus. Next breath, he's coming. Oh yes, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, let's worship the Lord. We ought to be in an attitude of worship right now. You can make your life right with God right now. Maybe some of you right now need to repent of your sin and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I've fallen. I'm away from you, God. My heart has gone cold. I'm living in lukewarmness, oh God. I want to be right before you. I want to be ready for that day. Come on, get right with God. Just one prayer, you can be right with God. Make that decision to be baptized in his lovely name. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.